all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name once again in prayer. We certainly cannot pray too much. No one here tonight is guilty of praying too much, but we are probably all guilty of praying too little. But I pray again tonight that you'll give that special unction, that special anointing, God, that makes preaching powerful and effective. Lord, not for my name, not for my reputation, but for the glory of the one that called us to preach. And I'd ask now, God, that you'd captivate our attention for a few minutes and speak, Lord, to us. Bring to my thoughts those things, God, we've studied and those things you've granted to and give to us even today. And we'll thank you and give you praise and honor for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and we do trust you, Lord. Amen and amen. Back in verse number 10, if you look there with me, the Bible coming to the close, Paul coming to the close of the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is one of the greatest epistles that you'll ever read. And I tell you, it's literally, absolutely, powerfully packed with truth. In fact, it's all truth. Amen? But in chapters 1, 2, and 3, deals with the doctrinal part of the book. And then 4, 5, and 6 deals with the practical part of the book. And pretty much that's the way Paul wrote. He would write the first part of his epistle on what we're supposed to believe. And then he would conclude the latter part of his epistle with how we are supposed to behave. And I believe he had it right, don't you? Because if you don't believe right, you can't behave right. Amen. And so we come to the close of the chapter, and he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. In light of everything I've dealt with in these six chapters, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. In other words, there's not a thing written in the book of Ephesians that you and I are responsible to do that we cannot do through the strength of God. That's why the devil wants you to be weak. That's why the devil don't want you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Why? Because the devil knows as long as you're walking in weakness, you will not fulfill the will of God. You'll not accomplish the work of God. You'll be no threat in the warfare of God. But if a child of God, I'm talking about even the youngest one here that is saved, if they'd walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Holy Ghost, endued with power from above, I want to tell you that person, that little one is a threat to the powers of hell. Amen. That's recorded in verse 12. Those principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, those all are ranks of demonic forces. But I want to tell you, God is able to grant you the strength you need to stand in this evil and wicked day. A lot of people today's falling by the wayside, collapsing. But you know, and we'll deal with it later on, nobody ever quits in the strength of God. You've got to get weak before you will wonder. You've got to get weak before you can get whipped. Amen. And if you're weak, it doesn't take much to whip you. Amen. If you're weak, it doesn't take much of opposition, much of a trial, much of a struggle, much of a hardship to knock you down. But oh, we've got a secret here in the Scripture. We've got the key here in the Scripture to standing in the evil day, being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. Now, you do not find the admonition to be strong given to sinners. Sinners don't need to be strong. They need to be saved. Amen. They don't need to be strong or strengthened. They need to be, in fact, they probably need to be weakened. God can't save a strong sinner. Amen. God can't save a big sinner. In other words, big in their own eyes. Amen. Truth is, we's all big sinners. Amen. No such thing as a little sinner. Everybody that sinned, all of us, come short of the glory of God. Are you listening? But I want to say, dear friend, sinners need to be saved. They don't need to be strong. They need to be saved. But saved people, my friend, needs to be strong. And there's strength available to you and to me in the Lord. I just pinned these down today, just a few things here. I thought about this. We need to be strong. Why? Because of the foe. You do know that there is a foe. You do know there's enemies of being saved. Amen. If you claim to be saved and you don't know that, then I wonder if you got it. I wonder if you really get in, because I'm going to tell you, as soon as you get saved, you switch sides. Amen. That side you were us for, now you're against. That commander-in-chief that you used to work under and work for and labor for, my friend, now you're trying to expose him. You're trying to show that he's a liar and that your new commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one faithful and true. We need to be strong because of the foe. Amen. We need to be strong because of the fight. There's a warfare. There's a warfare that's involved. In fact, that's what's talked about in verses 10 down through the verses that we read tonight, is the warfare that's going on. You know, that's a good sign a person's saved, if he's in a warfare. That he's fighting against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and high places. Amen. That's a good sign. Amen. But we need to be strong because of the fight. We need to be strong because of the foe. We need to be strong, listen, because of the flesh. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might because of the flesh. Anybody have any problem with the flesh? Anybody have any problem with that old flesh, fallen, sinful human nature besides me? Oh, yes, I guarantee you, you do. If you're saved, you have a problem with your flesh. Amen. When you get saved, you get a new nature, but that old nature still not saved. And there's a warfare, battle going on between the new nature and the old nature. What the old nature wants to do, the new nature don't want to do. And what the new nature wants to do, the old nature don't want to do. I'm going to tell you, we have warfare with the flesh. Amen. So we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might because of the flesh. We need to be strong in the Lord. Number four, because of the faith. You realize the faith is under attack. Doctrine is under attack. The Bible is under attack. What you and I embrace as our belief is under attack. Are you listening? I'm talking about right here in the land of the free and home of the brave. There may come a time that you and I could be under the very threat of jail or persecution or suffering if we hold true to what we believe. I wonder how many would recant their faith if the pressure gets on. I wonder how many would throw their Bible aside, throw their faith aside, throw their what they claim to have aside if the heat gets on. You know how I know that a lot of people would do that? Because they're not even living for Him now and the pressure's not on. Hey man, you think you're going to transform when the pressure gets on? No, if you're not living for Him now, there's no pressure on you, no how. You're already compromising. You're already catering. You're already, my friend, cowarding down to the enemy if you're not living for Jesus. I tell you who the great examples today are, those believers that's living for Jesus. Some have told me in the past, preacher, I'd die for Jesus. And some of them I believed that, and some of them I didn't, Brother Kevin, because I said to some of them, well, you mean you'd die for Him when you won't even live for Him? Amen. But anyway, we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might because of the faith. Jude said that he wrote unto us in verse number 3 of the little epistle of Jude that we should earnestly contend for the faith. which was once delivered unto the saints. And that word contend, brother, is words of warfare. A lot of churches preaching this lovey-dovey stuff, get along with everything and anything. Amen. I'm not going to mention by name, I could and probably should, but there was a very famous preacher in America. His books you see everywhere, in Walmart and everywhere, and his books are out, and I mean, he's all over the television, and I mean, if you mention his name in Christendom, everybody knows who you're talking about. And I want to tell you, I heard something out of him this week. They had a recording where he had a call-in radio station, and a call-in show, and there was a lady called in that was a Muslim. I was telling the men about it at the rest home last night. She called in, and she asked him point blank over national radio about whether Muslims get to go to heaven. What an opportunity right there, one, to witness to her. I mean, if you know anything about the Muslim belief, of course you know they are not followers of Jesus. They're not followers of Jesus. Are you listening? And when she point blank asked him right there over the radio, "I'm a Muslim, and blah, 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 I belong to this Muslim, this and that and the other, and I want to know, am I going to heaven? Can I go to heaven being a Muslim?" And Brother Kevin, he backpedaled and he coughed and choked and gagged, and he spent about 10 minutes saying nothing. He tried every way in the world and was successful to dodge the real truth and ended it. Ended the conversation having not told her that Jesus Christ is the only way. There's a woman that hung up that phone, settled in her mind that I can go to heaven being a Muslim. Are you listening? I'm talking about our faith, brother. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Listen, our faith is under attack. It's not popular to stand up and call sin, sin, and black, black, and white, white, and gray, gray, or whatever. My friend, it's not popular. It's not popular. But Jesus never come to be popular. Jesus come to die. We've not been called unto popularity. We've been called unto salvation. We've been enlisted in the fight to follow our commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to stand up for what is right. God help us to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We need to be strong because of the faith. We need to be strong in the Lord because of the fellow members. You're not the only one in this fight. You're not the only one with an enemy. I'll tell you, friend, if you're saved, you're in what the Bible calls the body of Christ, made up of many members. And when one gets weak, just like in the physical body, when one of your members gets weak or offended or hurt or injured, what does it do? It puts a burden on the rest of the body. It puts a hindrance in the whole body. Amen. And so when one goes walking in weakness and walking in defeat, you know what that does? That affects the others that's fighting with you. Sure it does. And then we need to be strong in the Lord because of our family. We need to be strong in the Lord because of our family. The devil hates the family. Families everywhere are under attack. I read just today that America will experience a revival when the Christian homes, when the Christian homes quit falling apart. Said America will experience revival when the homes inside the church stop falling apart. And that's probably about true, you know. That's probably about right. Amen. God help us to know the devil's after the family. And then number seven, last, we need, for that thought line, we need to be strong in the Lord because of our future. Amen. We've got a future, Brother Bob, and we can go forward, and God wants us to progress, and God don't want us to quit and fall by the wayside. No doubt about that. Amen. And again, I want to read our verse, and again, we're just going to mind the Lord, try to. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, why would God use His servant to challenge the people of God in this area of being strong? I believe because that so many of God's people are not. I believe that He's talking about so many of God's people battle with weakness, walk in weakness, live in weakness. And that's where all your discouragement is. That's where all your defeat is. That's where all your depression is. That's where all of that is in the realm of weakness. When I began to think about this, there's two types of weakness, and I'll probably just bog in on these for now, or at least as the Lord will help us. There's two types of weakness. There is a negative weakness or a bad weakness. And we'll look at that here in just a moment, and I'll explain what I'm talking about. And then there is a positive weakness, which is a good weakness. And we'll show you that. The first thing, let's look at this. Just a couple of thoughts here. The negative weakness. What is a negative weakness? This is the weakness of the spiritual. When you get weak spiritually, you turn to the natural or to the flesh and begin to depend on it. That is a negative, bad weakness. And a lot of people in churches got that. A lot of people in church struggling with that. That is a weakness. A spiritual weakness, listen, that turns to the flesh and depends on what the flesh can do and give to survive. That's a bad weakness. You get weak in that area right there, sin is on its way into your life. I promise you, that's right. Amen? If I am weak spiritually, then that means I'm probably strong carnally. If I will say it again, if I am weak spiritually, that is, if I am weak in any of the areas that would make up my spirituality, and that's a big area. If I'm weak spiritually, then that's usually an indication that I'm strong carnally. If I'm weak in areas that I should be strong, that usually means that I'm weak, that I'm strong in some areas that I should be weak in. I don't know if you got that or not. I'm going to say it again. If I'm strong in some areas that I should be weak in, and I should be weak in some areas, amen, I should not be strong concerning my flesh. I should not be strong concerning sin. I should not be strong concerning different things that would gratify the appetites of the flesh. But if I'm strong in areas that I should be weak in, then I'm probably weak in some areas that I should be strong in. The Word of God, church, prayer, witnessing, and so on and so forth. Before the devil can get you wicked, he must first get you weak. Wickedness always precedes, weakness always precedes wickedness. Amen? You get that? Oh, yeah. Wickedness and sin and weakness always goes together. Did you know there's all kinds of examples of that? Let me just give you one. What about Joshua chapter 7? The children of Israel walking triumphant through the land of Canaan. Boy, nobody standing in their way. In fact, in chapter 6, they had just conquered the inconquerable walls of Jericho. The insurmountable walls of Jericho. But in chapter number 7, they come up against a little small enemy called Ai. Well, when they come up against Ai, guess what happened? They thought it was just going to be a cakewalk. They thought it was going to be a stroll through the park. But they went up against Ai, and Ai whipped them. You know why? You know why they were whipped? Because they were weak. You know why they were weak? They were wicked. Achan's sin got in the camp. And God couldn't bless them. Are you listening? Amen. That's exactly right. So there is a negative weakness, a bad weakness, a weakness of that of the spiritual realm, a weakness of the spirit that would cause you to go to the flesh. Boy, people does that. I don't understand. When they go through a hard time, first thing they want to do is quit church. When they go through a hard time, first thing they do is quit praying. When they go through a hard time, they lay their Bible aside and they just, you know, everything that they should be going toward to keep some kind of energy, keep some kind of spiritual power in their life, they abandon that and they go to the flesh as if the flesh has the answer. There's a negative or a bad weakness. Number two, there is a positive or a good weakness. There is a weakness that's really good. Did you know that? This is the weakness in the natural or with the flesh that causes you to turn to the spiritual for strength. See, it's right the opposite of the negative or the bad weakness. The bad weakness is a spiritual weakness that turns to the flesh for strength. The good weakness is the weakness of the flesh that causes you to turn to the spirit for strength. That is a good weakness. Amen? The strength of the natural man is ineffective in the spiritual realm. Did you get that? The strength of the natural, the physical strength, is of no value in the spiritual warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, carnal, worldly. Not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Let me go on and deal with this. There is a weakness that God can use. God can't use that bad weakness, that weakness of the spirit, when you're weak prayer in your prayer life, you're weak in your church attendance, you're weak in your giving, you're weak in your witnessing, you're weak in all of those areas and then some. God can't use that. That's a weakness that's against God. That's a weakness that hinders God. But there is a good weakness when you get weak, realize that you can't do it, and to turn to the spiritual for strength. Amen. And we have two or three illustrations I want to give on that out of the Word of God. What about Jacob in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis? Jacob facing what was going to be a definite defeat when he was going to face his own brother Esau. Esau was coming to get him and meant to, because Jacob was a conniving trickster. Jacob, we got a lot of Jacob in us. Are you listening? And Jacob, my friend, knew that Esau was going to get him because he betrayed him and stole his birthright. And Jacob, my friend, began to wrestle in the night with the angel of the Lord. An Old Testament appearance, no doubt, a Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of Christ. And Jacob began to wrestle with that angel, and he saw that he couldn't whip him. He saw that he couldn't win. And my friend, guess what the angel did? The angel of the Lord touched the hollow of his thigh, caused him to be weak, brought about that good weakness, Brother Kevin. And as a result of Jacob, who had always been strong and fight his own fight and do his own thing and figure it out himself and trick everybody to get his way, here we find now he's brought to a status of weakness. And as a result, you know what he started doing? He started clinging. He started hanging on. And he said, "I'll not turn you loose till you bless me." Oh, yes. Sometimes as long as we're strong in ourselves, we'll keep fighting God. We'll keep resisting God and His efforts in our life. But I want to tell you, if He'll just touch us, if He'll bring a trial or something into our life, that'll bring about a weakness so that we will quit our conflict and our contention and start clinging. And God brought Jacob down to that weakness. And guess what? Through that weakness, Jacob won that fight because there wasn't a fight. There wasn't a fight. It would have ended up, Brother Craig, in definite, certain death for Jacob. Esau would have killed him just sure as his name was what it was. But instead, when he got weak and he began to limp on the hollow of his thigh, he bore the mark of that weakness. Amen. And guess what that weakness really turned out to be? His strength. There's a good weakness. Here's another illustration. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9 of the Apostle Paul having the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. Guess what? He prayed 3 times that the Lord would take away that from his life, and God never granted it. But in verse 9, but God said this word, but my grace is sufficient for thee. And listen to the next statement. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. There is a good weakness. There is a weakness, my friend, that you are forced to depend upon the Lord for you to make it. Bad weakness is when you're weak spiritually and you're depending on yourself to make it. You're depending on what you can do to make it. You're depending on the world to make it. But there's a good weakness when you get weak in the natural realm and realize that if I make it, that if I'm ever going to do anything for God, then I'm going to have to be empowered from heaven. Amen. So that's what was stated there. God said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And you know what Paul said as a result of that, as soon as God told him that? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. The word infirmities means weaknesses. I will glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Amen. He said in the next verse, therefore I will take pleasure in infirmities for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Oh yes, if you're weak, that causes you to depend on the Lord. That'll be your strength. And that's a strength, my friend, according to Ephesians 6 and 10, that the enemy can't handle. That's a strength, buddy, that'll cause you to triumph and be an overcomer. Amen. Instead of being one that's cast down and destroyed. Amen. Hebrews 11:34 is another verse you might want to just make a mark. Here's what it said. There's a list there of the great saints of God. Here's some of those that described. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. And listen to this one. Out of weakness were made strong. God's looking for somebody that is not strong in themselves. God's looking for somebody that says, God, I can't do it, but I'm willing to try. I can't do it, but I'm willing to submit to you. I'm willing to allow the Spirit of God to fill me. I can't do it, but you can. Use me, Lord. Use me. Use me for the glory of God. I want to share just a few things right here real quickly. First of all, if you want to write these down, these are the main thoughts right out of verse number 10. First of all, I noticed that being strong is a command. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The word be is put there to show it is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. It's not even a recommendation. It's not even a good idea. God is saying it's a command. Be strong. Boy, you can take that word be and look at it in the New Testament several times. In fact, you'll find several times where that same word be is put in front of be ye holy. You'll find it again of be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You find in Ephesians 5:18, be ye filled with the Spirit. In other words, God carefully takes that little word be and puts it in a statement or a phrase to show force. Be is a command. Listen to this. This is good. Be strong. The words be strong is in the present tense. It don't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out. Be strong means right now. It's not the battles of yesteryears that's going to take you down, although there are some that seemingly have problems of turning loose with the past, seemingly have problems and difficulties of walking in victory over their past. But really, the truth is, be strong is in the present. Be strong is in the present. It's present tense. Did you know spirituality is a present tense subject? It's not what you was or what you hope maybe one day to be. What are you now? Spirituality is how are you living now? You might have been spiritual yesterday, but are you spiritual now? You may have great aspirations of being spiritual in the future, but are you spiritual now? That's the thing. See, yesterday's gone, tomorrow may never come. We're living in the moment. Right now is when we're supposed to shine. Right now is when we are on the court with the ball. Amen, right now. We need some right now Christians because we have a right now God. Amen. He's ever present. I will not leave you. We need that. Amen. So be strong is a command. Present tense. I found out also as I studied this out is the word be strong is not just in the present tense, but it's also in the, well, I like this now. It's in the passive voice. You say, preacher, what in the world does that mean? Well, I wouldn't know either if I didn't have some information to give to me. But the passive voice means the subject is the recipient of the action. Be strong is not what I'm doing. Be strong is what's being done to me. Amen. If it would have been up to me, it wouldn't have said be strong. It would have said do. But it didn't say do, it said be. Be strong. In other words, God says, if you'll position yourself, if you'll allow me to work, I will give you strength that'll make you strong, sufficiently strong for the fight. Again, it is a command. God is saying, this is my will for you. This is my desire for you. This is my design for you. But you being strong is not going to come of you. It's not going to come from you. It's going to come to you and through you. Boy, that's good right there. Boy, if we could learn that, we would not be so defeated about 90% of the time. If I'm out in left field preaching what I'm preaching tonight, then y'all help me to know where all the liveliness is in this place tonight. Have we got a bunch of people in here tonight that's absolutely just absolutely dripping with strength from God and the power of God all over you? Amen. In fact, it's unnervingly quiet in here tonight. Amen. Passive voice, subject to recipient of the action. Strength from God to you that'll make you strong for Him. Here comes the command part of this statement. Be strong is in the imperative mood. Imperative, you know what? Something, if something's imperative, it's a must. It's an essential. God is saying right here through the Apostle Paul, you're not going to make it without this. This is essential. This is not just something that's for somebody, but not for others. This is for those that is called in verse 10, my brethren. All of God's people needs the strength of God. Physical strength is for a physical world and for physical warfare. But I want to tell you, friend, when you get saved, you're tapped into a spiritual warfare and a spiritual war, a war and a spiritual world. Amen? And you got to have spiritual warfare, spiritual strength to fight in it. So it's an imperative. It's a command. It's a must. It's essential. Number two, let me mention quickly. Not only do we find in this meaning is be strong is a command, but be strong is a condition. Be strong is a condition, again, making a play on the word be. Be ye. Be. It's not what you're to do, it's what you're to be. It's not what you know that matters, it's what you are that matters. When he's dealing with be ye strong, he's dealing with what you are and who you are. Amen. It's a condition. You know why our churches are drying up? And I say our churches to encompass all of them in general. You know why they're drying up? And a lot of them emptying out. You know why? It's not because they're strong in the Lord. And it's not even because the devils are fighting them. It's because we're weak. Remember I preached the other day out of Proverbs, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You don't faint because of the adversity, you faint because your strength is small. If you've got the strength of God, adversity don't stand a chance. So there is the strength that be strong is a condition. It be speaks of reality, speaks of experience, it speaks of facts, it speaks of what's real. Do you realize what verse 10 says can be practically, factually true in your life? Be strong in the Lord. There's strength in the Lord, buddy, for you. There's strength for you. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're fighting, no matter what it is, there's strength for you. It's a condition. Every athlete knows that their endurance and energy and end result depends greatly on their strength. And therefore, they spend a lot of time and effort building their strength. Amen. Some of the greatest games ever played in the sports world is won at the end. Why? Because one side usually wears out. And that side that's conditioned more than the other usually rises to the top at the end. I tell you, do you well and me well tonight if we'd spend a lot of time and effort building our strength. You need to find out what it is that strengthens you spiritually. You need to find out what weakens you spiritually. And you need to avoid what weakens you. You need to refrain from what weakens you. And by the way, listen, I guarantee you, you know what weakens you. You know what pulls you down. Amen. You know that. You know what it is that you think or say or do or places you go or people you hang around that's going to drain you spiritually. You know what that is. You know what it is the flesh wants to do that, my friend, that will cause your spiritual joy to drain out of you. It would do you and me well to note those things and stay away from them things and find out what it is that strengthens us and, my friend, get involved with it. Do you not know the Bible strengthens you? Huh? Do we not know the Bible is... Look at the multitude of scripture that deals with that. And then look how little it gets read. We know that's a source of strength. We know that prayer's a source of strength, but how little does it get done? We know that worship is a strength. Amen. I mean, we know that worship is strength, but how much of that do we do? We know that church is a strength. It should be. House of God ought to be a place we can go and get around people, the people of God, amen, and draw strength one from another. Amen. But it's a condition. It's a condition. Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ, which what? Same word now. It's used in Ephesians 6:10, which strengtheneth, not strengthened, but strengtheneth. It's got an ETH on it, amen. It's ongoing in action right now. Amen. Strength, I can do what? I can do all things. Whatever God's Word asks of me, I can do it. Whatever God's will requires of me, I can do it. Whatever sin I'm supposed to quit, which is all of it, I can do it. So, oh, preacher, this has got a stronghold in my life. And, oh, preacher, I'm an addiction to this. And, preacher, this has really got a grip on my life. Hey, I want to tell you, greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. There's victory in the Lord over anything and everything. It's a condition. 1 Timothy 1 and 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath, here's the word, enabled me. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who enabled me for that He counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Romans 4:20, He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong. in faith, giving glory to God. Maybe you'll know this verse, 2 Timothy 4:17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, and guess what He did? And strengthened me. Amen. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The previous verse of that said, all men forsook me. But he said, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Glory to God, amen. There may come a time that you look around and the brother or the sister may not be present. But I'll tell you, you'll never look around as a child of God and the Lord not be with you. Oh, He can strengthen you. I like it. Number three, not only is being strong a command, being strong is a condition, being strong is conditional. Did you get that? Being strong is conditional. In other words, it don't just happen. I tell you, Brother Ron, I wish it was automatic. I wish when I got saved, all of a sudden God just put the automatic drive, the automatic everything, where it just happens. But it don't just happen. This being strong is attached to responsibility. Maybe that caused some of you to wake up. Hey, man. That'll cause you to gasp for breath, preacher. You didn't say the word responsibility, did you? Oh, not in a Baptist church. Surely you don't use those kinds of words around here. That's almost bad language, amen. You mean, preacher, how there's some responsibility to this thing? Oh, yeah. What do you think in verse number 11, put on the whole armor? What do you think that's about? Who do you think's supposed to do that? What about verse 13? Take unto you the whole armor of God. Verse number 17, and take the helmet of salvation. What is all those? Those are words of responsibility. You are always, and I am always, defeated. When I am defeated, it's in an area of failed responsibility. If we will walk in our responsibility, Brother Ivan, I'm telling you, that's a life of victory. That's a life of victory. Be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. It's not just a command. It's not just a condition. It's conditional. In fact, let me give you this right here real quick. I got to hurry. It's conditional. Just like there's, like right up here, there's these outlets. There's these electrical outlets. There's power there. We're preaching about power. Be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. There's power in that over there. But it's useless until I plug into it. It's useless. There's power available to you and I. Amen. There's no excuse. Come on, let me just help you with something right here. There's no excuse for your defeat. Well, preacher, if you just seen what I was going through and deal all that I deal with, preacher, you'd understand why I never testify. I don't have any joy. Amen. You might supposedly have some reasons, but you don't have no excuses. Amen. Not in light of the Word of God. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Friend, although it's available to you, you got to tap into it. You got to plug into it. Amen. Be strong in. I like that word in. Let me give you something on that word in. Be strong in the Lord. See, that's why lost people, this is not applying to lost people because they're not in the Lord. Salvation puts you in the Lord and puts the Lord in you. But that word in means by, with, and through. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong with the Lord. Be strong through the Lord. But I like this. I like this. Those by, with, and through speaks, and this is the word that was in the Strong's, speaks of instrumentality. In other words, be strong in the Lord as an instrument. Talking about conditional. I illustrate it with this, just like a hammer. It's got plenty of potential, but not no potential unless it's in the hand of a carpenter. It's like a tool, but it's no good unless it's in the hand of a mechanic. The mechanic is not doing the job without the tool, nor is the tool doing the job without the mechanic. The mechanic uses the instrument of the tool to carry out what needs to be accomplished. Be strong in the Lord. Let my strength be the instrument that you use to accomplish your purpose in life and your will and the will of God. Amen. Anyone that would be wise to note that. God puts nothing in your life to weaken you spiritually. No trial, no battle, no affliction, no hardship, no unanswered questions. Nothing will come in your life, ladies and gentlemen, that God sent for the purpose of pulling you down and throwing you down and defeating you. Any of that that comes in your life and it happens, my friend, you can count on it. The devil's behind it. Amen. Amen, that's right. I want you to listen to this. I'm talking about conditional. I'm about done. Listen. If this strength, and we know it's spiritual, it's not physical, it's strength, it's spiritual. Be strong in the Lord. If it's spiritual, then what does that tell us? That it comes through the Holy Spirit, right? That also tells me that if it comes through the Holy Spirit, that tells me that I'm supposed to be right with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask this a real simple question here tonight. Don't answer verbally or visibly, but I wonder how many in this service tonight is right with the Holy Spirit. I wonder how many is right with the Holy Spirit. In other words, as far as you know, there's nothing in your life that's grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. Anybody notice how quiet it is besides me? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That's the Bible. Ephesians 3:16. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So your strength is going to come through the Holy Spirit. Don't expect it to come any other way. If you're not right with the Holy Spirit, you have as well as turned the valve off of your help. You've cut it off because it's going to come through the Holy Spirit. Everything, listen to this, very simple. Everything God does comes through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then you can write this one down and this was it. Be strong is a conqueror. Be strong is a conqueror as revealed in the Scripture. Overcoming obstacles, overcoming enemies, overcoming whatever. I'm telling you, the strength of the Lord is a conqueror for you. Spiritual success comes through spiritual strength. Amen. As I said earlier in the message, nobody ever quits in the strength of God. Nobody ever quits in the strength of God. The enemies of life have no problem confronting and conquering the natural strength, but don't stand a chance against spiritual strength. No question that our enemy is strong. Everybody in here should know that. Our enemy is strong. We ain't going to take that away from him. That's the truth. The devil's good at being a devil. He's been at it a long time. He's powerful, but he's not all powerful. The one that we're to be strong in is all powerful. I like that. I like that. We need to be strong. You know why? Because the enemy's strong. Numbers 13:18, the children of Israel fixing to go in the land of Canaan. Numbers 13:18, and here's what the Bible said. Moses talking to them said, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. Numbers 13:28, nevertheless the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Joshua 17:18, but the mountains shall be thine, for it is wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. You know why you need to be strong? Because your enemy's strong. You know why you need to be strong in the Lord? Is because that's the only strength that's greater than the enemy's strength. I mean, you think about it. When you get in a tug of war match, the one that wins has got the greater strength. You can't fight the devil with a lesser strength than win. You can't resist the devil with a lesser strength than win. You've got to tap into a greater strength, and that's what's found here. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Amen. Amen. Moses told Joshua. Listen, Moses told Joshua in Deuteronomy 11:8. Let me read you some verses here. Therefore shall ye keep the commandments which I have given you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land whether you go in to possess it. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and be of good courage. Fear not, neither be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that goeth before thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Told him to be strong. Deuteronomy 31:7. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Be strong. Deuteronomy 31:23. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of good courage. For thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them. And I will be with thee. Be strong. Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Joshua 1:18. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against the commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Joshua 10:25, Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. It's a conquer. Be strong in the Lord is a conquer. You want to conquer? You want to conquer? You want to walk in victory? Do so in the strength that comes from the Lord. Did you know David, he didn't have a chance against some of his enemies? He's a little squirt of a boy. He didn't have a chance against the bear, the lion, and certainly not against Goliath. But David went against the bear and the lion with great victory, facing almost 10-foot tall Goliath. Went against him at approximately 16 years old and won the victory. You know why? Because he said, look, you come to me with spears and all this, but he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. You know what? In other words, I'm coming to you in the strength that comes from God. Saul tried to get him to carry his sword, but David said, no, I've not proved that. I have proved the Lord. He'd been faithful. He delivered me in the time I dealt with the lion and the bear, and he said, he's going to deliver me now. Amen? David naturally had he was no match for them. But spiritually, they were no match for him. Amen. The widow in Luke 18 was no match for her adversary. But she went to the unjust judge, got him on her side, and guess what happened? He avenged her of her adversary. You know what she learned right there? What I can't do in myself, I'm going to go tap into the strength of somebody that can do it. Be strong in the Lord. What you can't do in yourself, what you can't put up with yourself, what you can't fix yourself, what you can't overcome yourself, what you can't forgive yourself, what you can't forget yourself. I want to tell you, there's strength in the Lord that'll help you, enable you to walk in victory. Be strong in the Lord. That's the admonition coming from God for this service tonight. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Young people, be strong in the Lord. Yes, it's tough days for you. Yes, the temptations are great. Peer pressure is enormous. Be strong in the Lord. If you want your life to count for Christ, be strong in the Lord. If you want to end up doing something for God with your life, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. The world won't preach that message to you. The world preaches The message, be strong in sin, be strong in the flesh, be strong in popularity, be strong in these areas that will prove to be a real weakness in your life. That'll be a weakness in your life. Amen. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Let's all stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name, and I pray You'll take the message. Lord, use it for Your glory. Dear Lord, I pray You'll speak to every heart.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.